Owen Poindexter joins us, and always an interesting gentleman. He writes for The Athletic. He is their analytical genius here and covering the San Francisco Giants, and always gives us a lot of good insight. Owen, how are you?
Doing great. Good to be here, Marty.
Yeah, very good. And I was thinking about you today, and I said, boy, the spin rate of Stratton last night and the curveball, the location, and all the analytical things should have been lighting up like red lights on a board last night, because he pitched a heck of a game.
Yeah, it was great to see him be effective. You know, it's his first good start since he had a kid. I hate chalking it up to the kid, but there is a very clear line in a season where he was incredibly effective before he went on paternity leave and didn't quite have it when he came back. But yeah, he threw more curveballs than he had all season last night. It was working great. And he had an interesting thing where before the kid, that convenient dividing line, his fastball and curveball were both kind of in the middle, but he was able to elevate the fastball to get some swings and misses and have the curveball dive. And that stopped happening for his next five starts after the kid. Last night, it was that same kind of look where he's going up with the fastball, down with the curveball, and he's able to keep hitters off balance that way.
Owen Poindexter of The Athletic joins us, and we're talking about Chris Stratton, the spin rate, and how I like that dividing line, because really that's when things went south for Stratton. It was before having a child and then after having a child. Those first 3 weeks or 4 weeks of the season, he was sharp. And I remember the last time I spoke with you a few weeks back, you mentioned something about Stratton where he was getting a little extra help on his fly ball rate, or maybe he'd been a little lucky with fly balls. Some of that went away. He gave up some home runs. He really struggled going deep into ball games. What about him yesterday was different than we'd seen in maybe his previous three or four starts?
Well, I mean, I think it is, you know, just kind of luck of the draw to some degree. Because, yeah, those first five starts, there wasn't anything in particular that he was doing that looked like he should be suppressing home runs, but he didn't give up a single one, I think, for his first five. And then he, you know, had the meltdown, and all of a sudden he had a home run problem.
Right.
I think he's just someone who, you know, sometimes the fly balls stay in the park, sometimes they don't. But I think when he is able to keep hitters off balance, that fastball up is going to get some pop-ups. Hitters, you know, might get under it just a little bit. Whereas when it's kind of more in the middle of the zone, when he's going left-right a little bit more, sometimes hitters can line that up a bit more, and they're not getting under it. They're hitting it over the fence. So I think he needs that kind of vertical deception more than the horizontal to be effective.
Boy, it's going to be an interesting game tonight with Suarez and Velasquez. Suarez gets strikeouts. He gets a lot of the plate. We've talked about that. Gives up home runs here in this park that should favor him a little bit. And then this Velasquez is just blowing people away. Last five starts, three earned runs or less. What has changed Velasquez? Because he's a guy that pitch count used to be way up there, but he's pitching pretty well now.
Yeah, I mean, he's someone who always looked like he had huge potential, and he does have huge potential, because, yeah, he's got that huge fastball. He's got some interesting off-speed stuff. But, you know, he was a little wild. Yeah, he had trouble. You often have these meltdown innings where all of a sudden, you know, he goes from blowing everyone away to, you know, can't find the strike zone, or he's leaving stuff over the plate. And, yeah, I think, you know, you had Steve Gelb on a moment ago. Matt Gelb. Steve Gelb, the Mets guy. I think he's been another guy who's been able to harness that kind of vertical use of the zone. You're not just throwing everything down and trying to keep everything, you know, to reduce damage. You know, he's someone who's figured out how to trick hitters by going up and keeping them, you know, a little bit off balance, a little bit uncertain that way. And hitters have a hard time laying off a fastball up in the zone. It looks so tempting, but a lot of them can't catch up to it.
Yeah, getting a lot of strikeouts that way. Owen Poindexter with us from The Athletic. The Giants have made a couple of moves. Hanson is back. Certainly Belt, we know, when and the appendectomy. But Gregor Blanco, designated for assignment. He's cleared waivers already. He goes to Sacramento, reporting there on Tuesday. And now Pence is back. What do you look for to see? Has Pence changed? Is this a good move? What about Austin Jackson? What do the numbers tell you about these guys?
Yeah, I mean, well, Pence, a lot of these guys coming back from injury, we're just going to have to wait and see. Pence, I think, was okay for the first few games of the season, the first series or two. He looked like his normal self, and then something clearly was wrong, where just the power was gone. He, you know, wasn't really hitting anything. And so we'll just have to see, you know, for some players, age comes really quickly, and all of a sudden they're just not effective anymore. But, you know, I think Penn still has contact skills. He should still have enough power to at least, you know, hit some doubles, maybe the occasional homer. And we're just going to have to see what he's got left in the tank, because going into the year, we just didn't see a whole lot from him. Hanson, I'm really excited to see, because he was a marvel for a couple weeks, and then he got injured. And that power, he actually was showing some power this year in the minor leagues, but that wasn't part of his game up until this year. And so it's just hard to say, was that kind of a moment in time that we'll never see again, or is this a new player who we weren't really anticipating? And hopefully he gets the playing time to show that. And yeah, I think it's with Blanco going down, it's not like he was terrible, but he wasn't really earning his place on a team where, you know, Scott McCutcheon, of course, is going to hold down a spot as long as he's healthy. Mac Williamson needs to play. Pence, they ought to see what he's got. Gorky's, you know, he's had a hot month, and might as well keep him around as long as that's going well. And Austin Jackson is, you know, he's had some weeks where his batting average on balls in play has made him look good, but he hasn't really been great for the year, except when the hits happen to be falling in. But, you know, they gave him that contract. I think they want to, you know, see if they can salvage something there. I keep expecting him to go on the DL once everyone's back, so maybe we'll see another roster move, maybe when Bumgarner is activated. But yeah, Pence, I'm curious to see what he's... I think he's got something. I think, you know, there's too much talent there to just completely dry up so quickly. But he might be more of a fourth outfielder type, or he might get back to his normal self. We'll have to see. Yeah, Hanson, I'm excited about. Melanson, same deal. You know, he's such an effective pitcher, you know, when he was the Pirates' closer, and never really seemed to totally get it going as a Giant. But there's no reason he can't. I think he just needs to be healthy. So we'll see if he's back.
Yeah, the numbers will tell us a story. That's why I love having you on. You can explain it, and it's in vivid detail, because we see the player play, and then you have the numbers backing it up. It's interesting what you do. I really appreciate what you do on The Athletic. This is something that's been bugging me. The defensive zone ratings and defensive runs saved and all this stuff. And honestly, Owen, I don't understand it, but I know a lot of front offices talk about it and make a lot of decisions based on it. But with the shifts going on now in the infield, what's the zone rating of a third baseman who's now playing where the second baseman should be playing, or a shortstop who's on the other side of the bag? What does that do to Crawford's zone rating or Longoria's zone rating? Do you have to modify your thinking about defensive statistics now?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a very active conversation. I think the whole defensive stats thing was very much wet clay even before shifts became as prominent as they are, and now it's even more so. Some teams are taking the approach that range doesn't matter the way it used to. You know, it's still nice to have, obviously, but when you are able to, you know, put your fielders so that they only need to cover so much ground, it's not quite as much as they used to. You're not covering the entire field all of a sudden. You're only covering two-thirds of it. Some teams are saying, you know, if we can have a good hitter who, you know, can go a couple steps in either direction but isn't going to make those fantastic diving plays, we'll take that because we're just able to predict better where the ball's going. And yeah, in terms of what the defensive stats look like, I think you still get something out of them. But you always needed a big sample size with those. You know, a lot of people would say even 1 year is not really enough to know if you have a good defender. You know, you'd really prefer 2 or 3 years of data. And with shifts now, I think it's all the more so, where I think outfield defense is, I think, finally starting to get the full appreciation it deserves. Whereas infield defense, I think we're still getting a handle on, you know, what it means to be a great second baseman when sometimes you're covering, you know, half the distance between first and second, and sometimes you are covering a fraction of that. But, you know, I think as we get more and more data, we'll come to understand this a bit more. But, you know, the eye test still works.
I mean, Crawford
still looks great.
You asked me, to ninth inning, two out, second and third, ground ball, where do I want it hit? I want it hit to Crawford. I don't care where he's playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the
deal. I mean, you see those hands. He's able to just pick up anything.
Yeah, yeah. I think the eye test works for defense. One last thought for you, and then Adam can jump in here. The draft is Monday. Are you a pro college pick a guy or high school? And what do you look for? What do you think the Giants may do if you've taken a look at this thing?
I'm not super deep into the scouting world. I think, you know, when you've got the second pick in the draft, you take the best talent you can find. Baseball is not a sport where you pick for need so much. I know there's a lot of talk that they might pick a catcher, right, which would be interesting. But even, you know, when you've got a star catcher and you pick a catcher, it's going to take a few years for that player to hit the major leagues. And, you know, who knows if Posey will still be catching at that point. So I think you take the best value that you can find, and you let it sort out from there. The idea of picking for need, or I know some teams are more, you know, they like to pick players closer to the majors, college guys, or, you know, some teams go for pitchers. I think when you've got, you know, there's basically only one player who you can't have, and you can have anyone else, you're thinking, who is the best shot to be a future star? And I think everything else is secondary.
I want Will Clark.
Yeah, well, I think he's available. So might not even need him. he might be available in the 10th round, too.
So. Really? I want someone like that. Go ahead, Adam.
You mentioned Brandon Crawford just a minute ago. The awards came out, and after May, here I'm a little biased, A, because we see Crawford play every day, and B, because I dropped Scooter Gennett for my fantasy team April 15th. But Gennett beat out Brandon Crawford for NL Player of the Month. What did you see from Crawford this month to really jump back up? Because now, even tonight, he's batting second in the two-hole tonight for the Giants.
Yeah. I mean, Crawford, it's funny. You look at his season stats now, and they're starting to look like normal Brandon Crawford, because he couldn't hit anything for a month, and then he was hitting everything for a month. And that started to average out. The one thing that is not averaged out is his batting average on balls in play. The power and walks and strikeouts are all getting to be close to his career rate. He's still running a high BABIP. He's at 374 right now. That'll all come down a little bit. But, you know, when you're smoking everything, that will lead to a higher BABIP. I think we're kind of settling into normal Brandon Crawford, but that was the result of a terrible month and an incredible month. And, you know, obviously there's some luck involved with BABIP, but there's skill too. And I think players do deserve a reward for that when they have those incredible months. And I think there is some research that shows that, yes, it does even out over time, but if you've been hot for a week, that can stick up for a little bit. So he might still have a little bit of whatever he's doing, might be able to hold on to it for a little longer. But I think he's kind of settling into the Brandon Crawford that we know and love.
Cool. Well, look, he's hitting about 315, so I hope it continues, because they need his bat with belt out. So you and I are going to have a lot to talk about over the next few weeks, because this pitching staff is going to be tested again, and the numbers always do tell us a story, especially for Suarez and for Holland and for Ty Block when he goes to the bullpen, and certainly for Stratton as well. So, Owen, great to have you on as always. How was your camping trip?
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah, good to... unfortunately, I did have some Wi-Fi, so I was able to check my email. But yeah, good to disconnect a little bit and just spend some time looking at trees and birds and forget about the rest of the world for a day or two.
Forget about the spin rate of the sparrow. You don't want to be you don't want to be looking at that. All right, have a great afternoon. Have a great afternoon. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right, thanks, Marty.
Okay, thanks. That's Owen Poindexter of The Athletic. Yeah, you know, you could get so involved with it, you're looking at birds and spin rates, you know.
Yeah, the defensive rating of a redwood.
really?
Looking for something like that.
Redwood doesn't cover enough ground.
No. Well, you know, they had
eye test.
The Giants had a phone booth over at shortstop in 2010 who hit a big home run.
Yeah, he did. Uribe or Renteria?
I was talking Renteria.
Renteria, yeah. Uribe hit, you know.
He hit a couple of them.
Against the Phillies. Yeah. Come on, that one. Boy, fun.